This is Shimon Newbort with Hilchus Shabbos, Chapter 5. This chapter contains 21 halachas, and it concerns the obligation of lighting the candles for Shabbos and requirements for how this is to be done. Halacha Aleph, hadlokis ner b'Shabbos, lighting the candles for Shabbos, eino reshus. This is not a voluntary or optional thing. Imrotza madlik v'imrotza einei madlik, that if you wish, you may light the candles, and if you wish, you don't have to light them. It's not optional. Veloy mitzvah she'einei chayev lirdei fachareho. Nor is it a mitzvah of the sort of mitzvahs that one does not have to specifically do. Necessarily, a mitzvah that one has to pursue until he has the opportunity to do it. Kigoin eruve chatzeres, oy netilas yodayim lachilo. It's not one of those mitzvahs like eruve chatzeres, which we will learn about later in Hilchus Shabbos and in Hilchus Eruvin, where people who have adjoining houses in the same courtyard join together in order to permit themselves to carry in the courtyard on Shabbos, and this is a mitzvah by rabbinical decree, but that's a mitzvah if they desire to do it, they've done a mitzvah. If they don't want to do it, so they are not required to. Netilas yadayim lachila, washing the hands to eat bread, as we have learned in Hilchus Brachos. If one wants to eat bread, he does this mitzvah. Otherwise, one is not obligated to eat bread in order to do this mitzvah. Elozeh choyva. However, lighting the candles for Shabbos is not a mitzvah of that sort. It's an obligation. That is not that if you want to have light, you must light candles. And if you don't want to have light, don't light candles. You are obligated to pursue this mitzvah and obtain the candles and light them for Shabbos. Ve'echod anoshim, ve'echod noshim, and both women, and both men and women, chayovim liyos bevateihem ner doluk b'Shabbos, are obligated to have in their houses candles burning on Shabbos. Afilu ein loy ma yoichal, and even if he is so poor that he has nothing to eat, shoyel al apsochim, one is obligated to go out and beg at the doors for some money, veloikeach shemen, and to buy oil with this money, umadlik esaner, and light the candle, shezeh bichlal oynik Shabbos, because this is part of the mitzvah of the pleasures of Shabbos, v'chayiv levorech kodem hadloka, and we are obligated to make a brocha, to say the blessing before lighting the candles, Baruch Ato Adishem Elikeinu Melech Olam, blessed is God, our God, the King of the world, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvoisev, who has made us holy by His commandments, V'Tzivanu, and has commanded us, Lahadlik Ne'er Shel Shabbos, to light the Shabbos candles. Kiderech Shemevorich Al Kol Advorim Shuchayev Mehem B'Divrei Soifrim. And even though God did not command us to light the Shabbos candles, it's by rabbinical decree that we do so, but we make the blessing on it, just as we make the blessing over all mitzvahs that are by rabbinical decree. Halacha beis mutar leishtamesh b'neir shel Shabbos. We are permitted to have benefit and use, to make use of the light of the Shabbos, unlike the Hanukkah candles, which we only look at, we do not use them. We may use the light of the Shabbos candles, but only if the thing that we are using the light for is something that does not need a great deal of concentration. However, something that one has to look at very carefully, and it needs a great deal of concentration. Also, we may not do such fine work by candlelight. It's a rabbinical decree because we are afraid that if he'll do fine work that requires concentration, he will be so busy concentrating on the work, he will forget about the candle, and if the candle will not give enough light, he will bend over the wick to make a bigger light, and he will be increasing the flame on Shabbos, which is forbidden. Halacha gimel hamadlik, one who lights the candles, tzarech lahadlik mi boid yoim, he must light them while it's still daytime, Koidim Shkiyas Hachama, before the sun has set. V'noshim Metzuvis Haldova Ze Yoisem Min Ho'anoshim. And even though we said that both men and women are obligated, but women are more obligated, the mitzvah is more on women than on men, L'fishayim Metzuyis Bebotim, because they are always in the house, whereas men go out of the house, V'hein Ho'asukis Bimleches Habayis, and they, the women, are the ones who are busy with the housework. V'yafal Pichein, and nevertheless, even though the mitzvah is on women, Tzorich Ha'ish L'hazhiron, a man is obligated to remind them and to warn them to do it, and to inquire of them and check them that they actually did it, and to say to the women and other members of his family at Shabbos on Friday before it gets dark, a man is obligated to say, light the candles. If it's already late on Friday and we are in doubt as to the time, possibly it's already dark and Shabbos has started, or possibly Shabbos has not started yet. If we are not sure, ein madlikin, we may no longer light the candles. Halacha dalet, mishatishka hachama, from the time that the sun sets, until the sky gets dark enough after sunset that three medium-sized stars are already visible, this time between sunset and the time the stars are visible, this is the time period which we always refer to as twilight, and there is a doubt as to whether that period of time belongs to the day or to the night, and therefore we treat it strictly. If it would be more strict to call it day, we call it day. And therefore, Friday, and if it would be more strict to call it night, we call it night. And therefore, Friday, late in the afternoon, when it's already twilight, we are strict and we say it's night. And it's already Shabbos, we cannot do any work. And Shabbos, late in the afternoon, when it's already twilight, we are strict and we say it's still day, and we cannot yet do any work. And therefore, ein madlikim boy, when it's twilight on Friday, we can no longer light the candle. V'ho'isa melocha bein ashmoshes be'erev Shabbos, uv'moitzoi Shabbos b'shoigig, and anyone who does do a melocha, a forbidden work, at twilight, either Friday afternoon or Shabbos in the late afternoon, when it's already twilight, b'shoigig, if he did it unknowingly, that is, he forgot that this was Shabbos here, or he forgot that this was forbidden, chayev chatas mikol mokim. So if he did it both times, he did it twilight Friday and twilight Shabbos, 24 hours apart, then he has to offer his sin offering, because he has definitely done the work on Shabbos, because if it's daytime, then he did it Shabbos when it was still day, and if twilight is nighttime, so he did it Friday when it was already night. The Kehovim Elu, and these stars that we talk about, that end the period of twilight, when the three stars are visible, Loi Gedoilim Hanirim Bayoim, we don't mean large stars, which can be seen when it's still daylight outside, nor do we mean small stars that cannot see until be seen until it's pitch black night. We mean medium-sized stars. And when these three medium stars are visible, then it is certainly night. Psilo shemadlikim bo l'Shabbos, the wick with which we light the candle for Shabbos, ein oisem oisem midova shahoyer misachseches boy. We cannot make the wick out of some substance which does not burn properly, but in which the flame will flicker. Kigoin tzemer, such as wool, viseyor, or hair, vameshi, or silk, vitzemer ho'erez, or a wool-like a stringy substance that's obtained from cedar trees, or pishtan shalenupats, or uncombed flax, visiv shel dekel, and a string-like material that's removed from under the bark of the date tree, umine ho'eitzorakim, or certain kinds of very soft wood that behave like fiber, v'chayotzi behem, or any similar thing in which the flame does not burn properly, we cannot use it for the Shabbos candles, Elami Dovish or Nitlis Boy. We can only use a substance in which the flame sticks to it and stays at a steady flame, could go in pisht on the futsal, like combed flax, or big day sheish, or pieces of linen cloth, v'tzemer gefen, or cotton, v'chayetzi b'hem, and similar substances. V'hamadlik, tzarek sheyadlik, b'roiv hayetzi min apsila. And the one who lights the candle cannot just touch the flame to it and go away and let it catch itself on flame. He has to light it until the majority of the wick is caught on fire. Halacha vav ha-koyrech, dova she-madlikim boy, al-gabi dova she-ein-madlikim boy. If someone takes a substance with which one can light the Shabbos candles, and he wraps it around some other substance with which one may not light the Shabbos candles, then this combined substance, which he now has, the laws as follows. Im lahav ois hapsila kedei lahoisif oira, if the purpose in wrapping the second substance around the first is to make the is to actually make wick out of that, to make the wick thicker so that it'll make a bigger flame. Also, then is forbidden to use this combined wick, because a substantial part of the wick, part of the wick that was made to make the light, is from an unallowable substance. If, however, he only intends for the permissible substance, and the inadmissible substance was wrapped around in order to stiffen and harden the wick, so that it'll stand up erect, and it will not droop downward, mutar, then it's permitted, because this is merely supporting the wick, and it's not put there for the flame. Halacha zayin, we can put in a grain of salt, or gris shall pull, or a split pea, al pi haner, can be put into the opening of the vessel that holds the candle. There's the vessel that holds the oil and the wick. We can put these things in there, be'erev Shabbos, on Friday, she'yedoylik b'leil Shabbos, so that the candle will burn this way on Friday night, on Shabbos. The purpose of the salt is to clarify the oil so that the flame will be clearer and brighter. The purpose of the split pea is to make the flame burn more slowly and use up the fuel more slowly. V'chol ha'psilas she'en madlikim ben b'Shabbos, and all the wicks, which we said earlier in this chapter, that we may not use them to light the candles for Shabbos, oisem mehem medura. That's a candle that has a single wick, where a single flame cannot be made out of these substances. But medura, a lantern, can be made out of these substances. Bein lehishchamim kenegda, that is a lantern with fire that's made for warmth. Bein lehishtamish loira, or that's made for using the light, because since this is a large lantern with a large flame, the light will be all right even if it flickers. Bein al gabi menorah, and this can be done both in a candelabra, bein al gabi karka, or directly on the ground. The only time they prohibit using these substances is when it's a single wick for a candle. Halochechez, shemen shemadlikim boi l'shabbos, the oil that is used for lighting the candles of Shabbos. Charech cheyehei nimshech acha ha'psila. It has to be the type of oil that is absorbed and conducted up along the wick to the flame. Aval shmonim she'enam nimshechim acha ha'psila. But those oils and fuels that are not conducted along the wick to the flame, kegoin zephes, such as tar or pitch, v'shaiva or wax, v'shemen kik or oil of a certain fruit that's called kikoyin, v'alya or fat from a lamb's tail, v'chelev or tallow, ein madlikim bohem. We do not light with these substances. In the cases of tallow and wax and such solid substances which will not conduct along the wick, that's of course only if the wick is stuck in at one end and lit at the other end, so that the fuel has to come up the wick in order for it to burn. However, the candles that we use today that are made out of wax or tallow or paraffin, since it's wrapped completely up, it's solid and wrapped up along the entire length of the wick, so this is permissible. Why are we forbidden to light candles with wicks in which the flame does not burn steadily, nor with oils that do not conduct up along the wick. We are afraid that in such cases the light will not be sufficient. It will give a dark light. And you'll bend the wick over to increase the light while he's making use of it. And this is forbidden. Halochetes. Chelev shehitichoy. Tallow which has been melted into a liquid, the kirvei dogim sheni moichu, and the fat intestines from fish which have been melted, and the fat has formed a sort of a liquid, noisin l'teichem shemen kolshu, if you add just a little bit of oil to it, umadlik, then it can be used for lighting. Aval shmonim sheimadlikim bahem, but oils, other of the oils, liquid oils, with which it's forbidden to light the candles, afilu irvin b'shmonim shamadlikim bahem, even if they were mixed and blended together with other oils with which one may light the candles, lo yadlik, one should not light with such a mixture, because they still will not conduct up the wick. Halacha Yud, ein madlikim be'itron, it is forbidden to light with coal tar oil, the because burning this gives off a bad odor, and we're afraid that if the candle smells badly, even though it's burning brightly, but if it has a bad smell, he will be disturbed by the smell and go away from the candle, and therefore he has not fulfilled the obligation, because the obligation is not only to light the candle and then to leave it burning and go away, the obligation is to sit there by candlelight. Nor can we light the candles with balsam resin. This is a resin that runs out of a certain kind of a tree, mipnei shereichei toiv, because this has a good smell, shemayikach mimenu min haner, because since it has a good smell, he may take some out of the candle to use for some other purpose, and thereby he is has less fuel there, and the flame will go out more quickly, and he has in effect extinguished the flame. For oid, and furthermore, mipnei shehu off, because it is very volatile, and there's a danger of fire. V'loy b'neif t'lovan, nor with a white kerosene, v'afilu b'choil, this may not be done, you may not light a lantern with white kerosene, even on a weekday, mipnei shehu off, because it's very volatile, v'yovili desikon, and there is a danger here of setting the house on fire. Halochi yudalef, muta lahadlik lechatchila b'shar shmonim, one may, however, even preferably, light with any other kind of oil. You don't have to use, like Hanukkah, olive oil, you can use any kind of oil, kigoin shemetz noin, such as oils of Tznoin is radishes, but here we mean oil from radish seeds, v'shum shemin, or from sesame seeds, v'lefes, or from turnip seeds, v'chol kayetzi b'hem, or all other similar oils. Ein oser, elo elu shamonu chachomim bilvad. The only prohibition is on those oils which were specifically listed by the sages, and which we have listed here in this chapter. Halacha Yud Beis, lo yitin adam kli menukov mole shemin al pi haner, we may not put a vessel, a container, which has a hole in the bottom and is filled up with oil so that the oil continually drips out of there, al pihan there, we put it over the opening of the candle, bishvil sheyehei menatif, so that it will constantly drip oil into the candle, and the candle then will not go out when the oil is used up, because there's a reservoir that's constantly replenishing the oil. V'lo yimalei kor shemen, nor can one fill up a bowl full of oil, v'yitnena b'tzad haner, and put it next to the candle, v'yitenoi shapsila l'teicha, and draw the other end of the wick, the end of the wick that's immersed in oil, draw it out from the candle and put it into this bowl, b'shvil sheteishayev, so that it will draw oil also from this bowl, and the candle will burn a very long time. In both of these cases, he cannot do it, because since the reservoir of oil is not in the candle itself where it's burning, gezeira shema yikach min hashemen shebekli. We're afraid that he will take some of the oil out from this utensil, from this container, and and use it for something else. Why are we not afraid of his doing that with the candle? If all the oil is in the candle, in the case when it's in some reservoir, some other container, it has not become spoiled by, and it has not become disagreeable in appearance by being in this reservoir, and therefore he may take it. But in the candle itself, since the candle is burning, there's the ash there, and it begins to smell slightly, and he will not use it therefore. And we are afraid that he will, in the case of leaving the oil in the reservoir, that he may use it. And it's forbidden on Shabbos to make use of oil which has been lit. And even after the candle has been extinguished, if there's some oil left, it's forbidden to use it. And even if it dripped out from the candle onto the table or into container that was under the candle, it's forbidden to use this oil. Because it is mukta. Mukta means something that could not be used at twilight and therefore cannot be used the rest of Shabbos. And why is it mukta machmas iser? Because of the prohibition. Since it's prohibited to remove it from the candle, because then one is in effect extinguishing, therefore it's prohibited to make use of it even after the candle has gone out, or even if it's dripped out from the candle, because since he couldn't use it the way it was, he cannot use it at all. V'im chibah hakli sheyesh b'hashemen El Haner Besidu Becharsis. However, if this reservoir container that has the oil has been integrally connected to the and united with the candle itself by plaster or some sort of cement, v'chayitzi b'hem, or some similar thing, and it became one container, mutar, then it's permitted to do this and to have the oil in the reservoir, because it, since it's all one candle, one will not use it. Halacha yud gimel, einoisnim kli tachas haner lekabel b'shemen b'shabbos, it's forbidden to put a container under the candle to catch any oil that may drip from it on Shabbos. Shaharei mevatel hakli mehechonei, because now he has taken a utensil which could have been used, and he is making it unusable, because once the utensil contains the oil which dripped out of the candle, he may not use the oil. He may now not use the utensil that contains the oil in it either. However, if he put it while it's still daytime on Friday, mutar, then it's permitted. It is, however, permissible to put a container under the candle to catch any sparks that may fly off the candle, because the container will not become forbidden thereby, since the sparks do not have any actual substance to them. Once they go out, there's nothing there. And therefore he has not caused this utensil to become forbidden to be moved, and therefore he may put the utensil there. Also, however, it's forbidden to put water into this utensil, even before Shabbos, because the water there causes the sparks to become extinguished more quickly. It's forbidden to examine a garment and remove the lice from it, or to actually remove the lice by candlelight, because this requires intense concentration. Nor may one read by candlelight, and even if the candle is out of his reach and we're not really afraid that he will touch the candle, nevertheless it's forbidden. Even if the candle is twice the height of a person and it's out of reach, it's still forbidden. And even if there are 10 houses in a 10-story house, one on top of the other, and the candle is in the uppermost story, he may not read and may not remove lice by the light of this candle, even in the lowest story, because he may forget that it's Shabbos and move the candle. He'll go up to the candle and move it and bend it over. And if two people, however, are reading the same subject matter together, mutarim likrais lefneya, there then they are permitted to read by candlelight, shekol echad mehem maski chaverim shochach, because since they're both reading the same subject matter together, each one knows what the other one is doing, and each one will remind the other if he forgets that it's Shabbos. Avaloi b'shnein yonim, however, they may not at the same time read two different subjects, each one a different subject, shekol echad mehem tarid bin, because now, since each one is busy and concentrating on his own subject, he does not pay attention to what the other one is doing. Small school children may read for their teacher. Their teacher listens to them read and examines their reading, and they may do this even by candlelight, because the teacher is there and he's not reading, he's just listening to them and he's keeping an eye on them so that they won't touch the candle. However, he is not permitted to read by the candlelight even though the children are there watching him, because he's not afraid of the children, and therefore the children won't say anything to him, and even they will not remind him. He may not actually read by the candlelight while he's teaching the children, but he can take a look into the book by candlelight until he finds the beginning of the paragraph that he wants them to read. And then, as soon as he finds the place that he wants them to begin reading, he puts the book into their hand, and then they continue reading in front of him. Utensils, dishes, and other vessels that are similar one to the other, and you can't tell them apart except if you look very carefully. You're not allowed to bring them close to the candlelight to tell them apart. Because since this requires close examination, you have to concentrate it and you may forget and bend over the candle. And therefore, a waiter who is not the regular waiter here, he may not examine the cups and the plates by candlelight, because he's not familiar with these cups and plates, and therefore, since he has to concentrate on what he's doing, since he's not sure, he will end up forgetting and moving the candle. And this same law applies to him, regardless of whether it's a candle of olive oil, which has only a small flame to it, or b'ner shel neft, or a candle that's made out of kerosene, that's burning with kerosene, which gives a great deal of light. Aval shamish kavua, however, the regular waiter, mutalai livdek leir haner kreisus okaris, he may examine the cups and the plates by candlelight, because he's familiar with them and he doesn't have to look too carefully. If it's a candle that's burning with olive oil, a moirim loy livdoik, then we do not tell him this law. We do not teach him that it's permissible to examine them. V'afal pishul mutar, even though in fact it is permitted, zereshem yishtapik mimenu, because we're still afraid that since it's olive oil, he may, even though there's a candle burning there, take some of the oil out. Halocha yud zayin, ne'er sha'achori ha'delis, candle that's burning behind the door. Also, you may not open and close the door in the usual fashion, because this may put the candle out. It causes a draft, and it may put the candle out. One must be very cautious when opening or closing the door. Also, we're not allowed to open the door in front of a lantern that's burning, b'Shabbos on Shabbos k'day, shetei aneruach min ha-sheves po, in order to cause air to blow in, to let in a breeze of air, b'afal pi she'ein sham el aruach mitzuya, and even though there's no strong wind here, it's just the ordinary currents of air, nevertheless, we may not open up, because it may put the candle out. U'manichim haner shal Shabbos al gabi ilon, ha-mechubel ha-karkav eni choishesh, we may hang the Shabbos candle on a tree, even though the tree is still growing in the ground, and as we will learn later on, it's forbidden to make use of a tree or anything else that's growing in the ground. Nevertheless, we may hang the candle or the lantern on it, and we need not worry about it. Halacha Yud Beis called Medinas Va'ayores Shal Yisrael, all cities, big cities or smaller cities that have Jewish inhabitants, toikim bahem sheish tekiyas, it's customary that they sound six blasts on the shofar or on a trumpet be out of Shabbos on Friday. And the custom is to sound these blasts from some high place, so that all the people in the city and all the people in the outskirts of the city will be able to hear it. Halacha Yutes, Tekiya Rishayna, the first blast that sounded, when that happens, Nimniyu Ha'imdim Basodis Milach Rishu Milade, those people who are outside, far outside the city, in the fields, they stop the plowing and the hoeing, umilasis melocha shabasod, and they stop doing all other labor in the field, since they have to stop earlier, since they have to collect their things and they have to come back into the city. However, they do not immediately go into the city. The people who are in the fields close to the city cannot come inside until those who are far away have arrived, and then they all go, vikonsukulam, all enter the city at once. Bevasachas, all at one time. Vadayin hachanuyes psuches vatrisin munochim. This first blast only stops the people from working out in the fields, but people who are working in the cities may still do so, and the stores are still open, and the trisin, these are sort of a removable door. The door of the store used to be removed from the doorway, and it would set up such, almost like a table, and they would display their merchandise on it. So these are still left in their horizontal position. Hischilit koyashnia, when they begin blowing the second blast on the shofar, nistalku hatrisim, then these doors which have been made horizontal are put up, v'ninalu hachanuyas, and they lock up the stores. V'adayin hachamin v'hakaderis munochim al gabi kira, and the urns of hot water and the pots of cooking food, however, are still on the stove. Hischil litkoyat kiyashlishis, when he begins blowing the third blast, silik hamesalik, whoever has to remove the cooking food from the stove, according to the laws that we learned in chapter 3, does so at this time. V'hitmin hamatmin, and whoever is wrapping up hot food to keep it hot under the conditions that we learned in chapter 4, does so at this time. V'hidliku es hanedis, and they light the candles. V'shoyheh, and then the one who's blowing the blasts on the trumpet or shofar, he waits k'dei litzleis dog katan, the amount of time that it would take to fry a very small fish, or k'dei lahadvik pas betaner, or the time that it would take to stick a loaf of bread into the oven and get it stuck onto the side of the oven. And then, after this amount of time has passed since the third blast, he then blows again three times. Tekeya meiria tekeya. He sounds tekeya teruah tekeya, as we will learn in Hilcha Shofa. V'shoyves, and then everyone stops doing malacha. Halacha chav tekeya rishoina tekeya isa b'mincha. The first blast on the shofar that we spoke about, this is done at mincha time, as we learned in Hilchas Tefillah, when Mincha time is, v'hashlishis, and the third one, Korev l'shkiyas acham, is done not long before sunset. V'chein toikim b'moitzoi Shabbos achatzeis akechov, and similarly, the trumpets or shofar is sounded after Shabbos, after the stars have come out, lahatehom lemaseihem, to signal the people that they are permitted now to do work. Halacha chaf aleph, yom hakipurim shecholiyes be'erev Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls on Friday, so now the end of Yom Kippur will be the beginning of Shabbos. Loi hayu toikim. They would not sound these blasts in order to inaugurate the Shabbos, because all labor has been forbidden previously anyway on the day of Yom Kippur. Cholies b'meitzoi Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls on Sunday, so that Shabbos ends, Yom Kippur begins. Loi toikim v'loi mavdilin. We do not sound any blasts because we do not have to signal people to stop working for Yom Kippur, since they have been forbidden to do work on Shabbos anyway, and we do not make any Havdolah for the end of Shabbos, since we're not going out of Shabbos. Yom Kippur itself is also a Shabbos. Yom Tiv Shecholi is Bar of Shabbos. If an ordinary festival day falls on Friday, so that the Friday night we end the Yom Tiv and we begin the Shabbos, Toikin, then we do sound the blasts on the trumpet, because certain labors that could be done on Friday cannot be done Shabbos, v'loy mavdilin, but we do not make Havdolah, since we are not going out from Yom Tov, we are in fact going into Shabbos, which is even stricter. Choli is le'achara Shabbos, if Yom Tov falls on Sunday, so that Shabbos at night ends the Shabbos and begins the Yom Tov, mavdilin, we make Havdolah, since we are now ending the sanctity of Shabbos, and it's now a period that we can begin doing certain labor which was forbidden on Shabbos, the Leitoikin, but there is no need to sound the shofar. We do not sound the shofar because there is no labor that's now going to be forbidden. Everything that is forbidden on Yom Tov has already been forbidden on Shabbos. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for Chapter 6.